You're listening to SBS News.
Well, I'm continually startled by the savage malice displayed towards Julian by the English judiciary over a period now of totaling 13 years of every single court case where the magistrate or the judge is either partisan or deliberately unsympathetic or ignores the central issues in order to focus on Julian's well-being and mental health. It's very, very distressing and disturbing.
Obviously, there looked as if there was a ruling in favour of Julian not so long ago, and then the US obviously intervened and appealed, and that appeal was allowed. Were you sort of optimistic? Have you been optimistic at any point over the last 13 years?
No, in analysing the ruling that Julian not be extradited because of health reasons, in analysing that, it meant that all of the American appeals would focus on Julian's well-being and personality and character rather than the issues that Julian was being tried under, were the charges. They have nothing to do. Julian is not charged with being unwell. He's charged with a series of charges covering espionage, and Julian's not even an American citizen. And more to the point is that Der Spiegel, The Guardian, Le Monde, The Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, and many, many television stations all publish the same material, exactly the same. So it's startling that this focus of the British magistracy seems to suit an ongoing incarceration of Julian that's now in its 13th year, and since in the last 3 years has intensified by having Julian locked up in Belmarsh Maximum Security Prison, which I might say is characterised as the United Kingdom's Guantanamo Bay. It's staggering, shocking, disgraceful.
You almost preempted my next question there about him being being held in Belmarsh. You know, it's a Category A prison. You know, some of Britain's, as you say, it has been likened to Britain's Guantanamo Bay. How has that sort of had a toll on Julian, on yourself seeing that?
Well, as long as I have got energy to continue to fight on behalf of Julian and push this battle forward and get a deeper understanding of the forces that are arrayed against Julian and increase my capacity to engender assistance from populations, parliamentarians and institutions, I'm okay. Julian, as you know, had a stroke amidst a court case in 27th, 28th, and couldn't any longer stay in the video room, even though the judge said that, you can go because you're sick, but he just couldn't stay because of his illness. He was part way through it, as it turns out, of a stroke. Now he has a drooping left eyelid. That's the focus of the destruction that Julian's experienced over the 13 years of this persecution. That's the result, is a diminished well-being. But the actuality is the war crimes that the publications uncovered and manipulation of the American election by the Democratic National committee forcing one of the contenders, Bernie Sanders, out of the running by manipulating the figures. That's really a minor event that then uncovering war crimes in Iraq, the war crimes in Afghanistan, Figura ruining the life of coastal villages off the Horn of Africa by dumping e-waste, and on it goes. There is the area of proper focus, and the British judiciary has seen fit to take the focus away from a plenitude of crime, which we ask to be repaired, and those that commit the crimes to be judged. We ask that. Our focus is taken away from that. When I say our, I mean the public's focus is taken away from that, and to worry about Julian's well-being. This is a deliberate plan of the judiciary and the Crown Prosecuting Service, and that so far it's succeeded.
Thinking back to Julian's work on exposing wrongdoing in a multitude of settings, as you laid out, you must be proud of the, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how do you feel about the work that he has overseen, the things that he has brought to light?
Well, with due respect to all other journalists committed working in the field, I would go as far to insist that Julian is foremost in the field since 2000, when he first started, or 2006, when he first started WikiLeaks, foremost in uncovering crimes committed by states and other actors.
The issue of the case that has sort of exacerbated a lot of discussion about press freedoms and, you know, and things like that. And how do you feel about the wealth of support that Julian has received from free speech activists and a variety of other human rights groups and the rest of that? Do you feel buoyed by what you have seen?
Yes. You know, working on the inside and just looking out through my attic window, looking around what to do next. And we're carried aloft by an increasing tide of support. And finally, as you saw yesterday or the day before, the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce, who's been a member of the Assange group in the federal parliament, coming forth and making a very firm statement while in Washington, suffering from a COVID illness. And that is, I think that that is the culmination of those 30 members of the Assange group in the federal parliament. The culmination of their work is now moved into the executive. The origins of those members of the Assange group are the people in the electorates, us, the parliamentarians. This is the charm and the beauty of the parliamentary system, is that the concerns of the electorate are taken by the parliamentary representative into parliament, and in session in Parliament, insist that the executive act upon the concerns of the electorate.
Yeah, I read the Barnaby Joyce editorial, and I think it's interesting that somebody in a position in the executive has sort of come out in favour. What would you ask the Australian government to do? I mean, it sounds like a very basic question, but basic questions often yield very good answers in my experience. So what would you ask of the Australian government?
To simplify the matter, I would say that all Mr. Morrison has to do is pick up the telephone and say to Johnson, bring this to an end, please. This is an Australian citizen innocent of any wrongdoing, suffered 13 years of slings and arrows and malice and hatred from the institutions in your country. No need to say that, of course, but yes, just bring him home. Send him home here. If he's broken any laws in the United Kingdom, try him there. As he hasn't broken any laws in the United Kingdom, then there's an aeroplane waiting for him at Gatwick, and send him home straight away.
And thinking about the sort of 13 years of, I think you once referred to it in an interview as forced exile that he's been in, that must have had a considerable toll on yourself, on your family, and on Julian himself. How do you deal with that? Like,
well, you know, parents have one duty is to fight for their kids. That's the only proper duty they have. So we just fight. And that the malice, the more intense the malice, the greater the energy that I put into this matter, because I'm just not going to put up with it. You know, watching the British judiciary say stupid things like, you know, if he wants more sunshine, stand out on the balcony, or deriding the conclusions of the United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, which declared Julian arbitrarily detained, or sniffing and making silly jokes about the United Nations rapporteur on torture, professor of international law at Glasgow University, conclusions that we were witnessing a slow motion murder of Julian by two or three states, and treating that the United Nations rapporteur as some sort of amusing side statement in court as the prosecutor attempts to ridicule the conclusions, all of the conclusions in the rapporteur's report, all of them, every single one of them, are about abrogation of laws. It's not politics. It's not opinion. It's about abrogation of laws. The health conclusions in the rapporteur's report are done by two experts who spent 4 hours examining Julia. Two experts on the results of psychological torture and its physical manifestations. It's serious business. The federal government, the DFAT, is in possession of the report. It's been tabled in Parliament. The FOI searches, FOI is the Freedom of Information Request that we do to Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, reveal that they are in possession of this report. It also reveals that they have read it, 2 pages either side of the report, the beginning and the end, are completely redacted, so they weren't allowed to see their views of this report. It's all very strange that they can be aware, but at the same time say nothing. The conclusion is, it's inescapable, acquiescence. If you say nothing, then in these circumstances, you are complicit. It's irrefutable. If you say nothing about the irregularities of procedure that Julian's faced in the British courts, about the abrogation of human rights, about the strangeness of a publisher being held in Belmarsh maximum security prison. If you say nothing as a government, as an Australian citizen, Julian is an Australian citizen, if you say nothing, then you are complicit. It's inescapable and very sad.
Looking forward, because we have to, in terms of things, are you optimistic or pessimistic?
Well, I try, you know, because I'm a bit older and experienced, I try not to use those sensibilities as sources of energy. I just take things as they come toward me, whatever event or whatever I think can be done, and I do it as the best I can on the day. Looking further into the future, I attempt not to do, because all you've got in life is time. You get some time here, I'm 77, be 78 next year. So I just take things as they flow towards me and do my best with them. As far as Julian's concerned, they have a lot more to lose. So I imagine that they, you know, feel despair and distress, and Stella has to carry them along. They only get to see their father once in a while, even while knowing that no actual offence has been made.